What is up, you beautiful human? Hello and welcome back to the Raw, Real and Vulnerable podcast with me, your host, Bec Antonucci. Firstly, Merry Christmas, and I hope that you are having the most beautiful day and holidays, spending and sharing quality time with the people that you love and care for the most. Today is a curveball episode. I have woken up on Christmas morning in the Crown in Perth, Western Australia. I actually flew back from Bali last week on the 21st, which was always planned. I was really looking forward to coming home for Christmas. My cousin just had her first baby, so I'm so excited to meet my nephew. I know technically he's not my nephew, but we're calling myself an auntie. I'm the auntie, so I can't wait to meet my new nephew. I've really missed Perth and the crystal clear blue ocean waters and just diving headfirst into the ocean and feeling so refreshed and recharged. I've been yearning and like hanging out to play catch with my sister and Kobe on Trick Beach. I'm really looking forward to seeing all my girlfriends and community and Tony, my old housemates, annoying my parents, all the things. And today I woke up in the Crown in Perth, Western Australia, and I woke up with my ex-boyfriend, Jake Ward. So, because he'll be like, do you ever not tell the internet anything? I'm like, of course, my podcast knows everything. I can't not tell all the things. It's just who I am. This is how I am as a person. But I know, curveball for you, curveball for fucking me. Who knows what the fuck's going on with my life? But I recorded this in advance in December. And a week prior to me recording this, I had gone through my own personal process. I had not contacted Jake. I was very much committed fiercely to not ever contacting him from my little girl, only ever being in contact with him when I was bringing to him the reclaimed woman. And I was fiercely committed to our agreement of no contact. And I was in a florist on a Saturday afternoon and received a text message from Jake. And today's podcast episode dives all the way into what that text message involved and what we have been discussing since and why I woke up today on Christmas morning in a hotel room with my ex-boyfriend. So what I really hope that you get from today, beyond just me being the most honest expression of Rebecca that there ever could fucking be, like I talk to you, I tell you about a one-night stand that I had in Bali a month and a half ago. And hold on, is it a one-night stand when you already know the person but you haven't slept together before but then you sleep together once? I don't know. What do you think? There's so much in this episode. There's also some really great conversation around the nervous system, around your window of tolerance, around working with nervous system resources so that you can support yourself from a grounded place, specifically when shit hits the fucking fan, because nervous system resources are not actually reachable for if you're not practiced in them when things are quote unquote good. So there is so much in today's episode. I have launched this intentionally on Christmas Day so that over the next few days, whilst you're lying on the couch, digesting all the Christmas ham that you've eaten and maybe wanting to get away from all the family that you've spent so much time with, you can lie on the couch with your headphones in and just eat all of this episode up. If you love it, please screenshot it, share it to your story, tag me so that I can connect with you and so that I can share it as well. Strap yourself in. This is one hell of an episode. Let's fucking go. Your mental health, your mindset, your physical body, your nervous system, and your subconscious mind is your responsibility to take such pristine, intentional care of. Now, when something painful, hurtful, or traumatic occurs in your life, we get to take even deeper and more intentional care of ourselves in those moments. I am such a big advocate for you practicing nervous system regulation resources when you feel, and I'm doing air quotes right now, good, so that when shit hits the fucking fan, your nervous system resources are so practiced that they're reachable. Women come to me all the time and write on the application forms to work with me. And I know many of you who have been to my masterclasses and my workshops will have heard me say this in the past. 3.5 years ago, when I first started coaching, not one woman would write on an application form, I have a dysregulated nervous system. Now, 3.5, almost 4 years later, at least 80% of them say, I have a dysregulated nervous system, which is great that we're talking about it. But what does that even mean to you? What does supporting your nervous system mean to you? And I just want to put this in the space that if you're not supporting yourself when your nervous system is not dysregulated, there is no fucking chance that you're going to reach for any kind of regulation tool that you're not practiced in when you're outside of your window of tolerance. So I want you to think of your window of tolerance like, on a good day, I'm doing air quotes again. I don't really love the words good, bad, right, wrong, black, white, but on an air quote good day where you are feeling really resourced, where you feel like you've got a really expanded window of tolerance, where fucking nothing can rock your world because you feel like the absolute baddest bitch on the planet. You're eating right, you're drinking right, you're taking deep breaths. Life's just good. As much as I don't like to say that word, I'm just going to say it so you get where I'm going with this. And then someone cuts you off in traffic and you're like, what an idiot. Or someone's speeding down the freeway and they're going so fast and they're zigzagging in and out and you're just doing the speed limit and they're acting like a hoon. But no matter how fast they go and how stupid they drive, you both get to the traffic lights at the same time, yet you are going the speed limit. You are not disturbing anyone else. And every single time the light goes red, you're just sitting there next to this stupid car thinking, that's so silly. You could drive the speed limit and drive like a normal person and still end up in the exact same place. That's you with a regulated nervous system. Now, on a day where you've slept in, your boss has yelled at you, you've received an email that's like really like uncomfortable to receive, you've had a fight with your best friend or your partner, things just aren't going right, and you're feeling maybe a little bit stressed and like you can't handle to the degree that you desire what life is throwing at you right now. So you could say that maybe your window of tolerance is a little bit smaller, a little bit less. On that same day, someone cuts you off in traffic or someone's speeding and zigzagging in and out of traffic and you're going the speed limit and this person's acting like a hoon. Instead of looking at them and being like, what an idiot, you're like, what a fuckwit. And you're beeping on the horn, you're giving them the finger, you're yelling out the window like, what the fuck? That's you with a dysregulated nervous system. So on the good day, that is the exact day to practice supporting your nervous system with nervous system regulation resources so that when shit hits the fucking fan and your window of tolerance is less, you know what to resource yourself with and how to resource yourself. It might be something somatic. It might be getting into your body. It might be shaking. It might be deep breaths. It might be co-regulating with another. It might be reaching out for support, but it's up to you to make sure that you know what those resources are and that you're practiced in using them so that when you are outside of your window of tolerance, you will be able to reach for them. You will never do something that is not practiced. Let me say that loud and clear. You will never do what is not practiced. Now, I share this with you because I feel a breakup is one of the most challenging things to navigate just in human existence. We're all obsessed with relationships. We all deeply desire love. We're all looking for that person that loves us. We love them back and we're going to create this life together. I believe that most of us are. We deeply, deeply yearn for, ache for, and desire this. And what is required to get to that place of finding that partnership? Failed relationships. What feels really fucking terrible? Failing in a relationship. Even though we're failing forward, you get what I'm saying? The breakup. The breakup fucking sucks. I feel breakups are one of the hardest things for humans to navigate. And so because I have a lot of clients going through this right now, and I've gone through this the past year, I really want to reflect once again, you are the gatekeeper of your subconscious mind. Your nervous system is your responsibility. Your mental health is your responsibility. Your mindset is your responsibility. Your physical body is your responsibility. And it is up to you to take such intentional, pristine care of all of these aspects of self so that when shit hits the fucking fan, like a breakup, you are able to reach for your resources and use them to support yourself. Now, what is one really incredible way to really fucking rock your world in a really terrible way in a breakup? Stalking your ex on social media. Don't do it. As soon as you and your ex-partner, even if you have the most beautiful breakup like myself and Jake, I believe I am such a stand for, you get to block that person and their social circle on social media for as long as it takes for you to move through the trauma and the healing and the grieving of the breakup. Literally, the day that Jake and I decided we are not continuing, we chose to, not from I don't like you, not from I don't love you, not from I don't want you to win or I don't want to see you thrive, but we chose intentionally, let's block each other's podcast pages, business pages, personal pages, because we do not want to see it. It is going to make the breakup so much harder. You could be in a really great place and then be flicking through your Instagram stories and all of a sudden, bang, there's your ex doing something that is probably not even anything, but all of a sudden your mind creates this massive story and you're put in this huge spiral that you don't actually need to be in because you've seen something that 10 years ago, none of us would have ever been privy to see. So I'm such a big stan. You have got to block your ex on social media as you go through the grieving and the healing of a breakup. Remember, our conscious mind is the gatekeeper of our subconscious mind. So my subconscious mind could be like, I'm going to see a photo of my ex probably doing nothing, but my conscious mind is going to create all these fucking stories about it and it's going to send me into a whirlwind. So my conscious mind says, you know what, Rebecca, do you know what would be a really good idea? Block your ex on social media. I have got to protect my subconscious mind, who can easily go into my wounds of I'm not enough, I'm not good enough, and all the things that we carry within, my deep fear of rejection, whatever that is. So the conscious mind has to say, okay, what is it that I need to do to support myself through this human experience? Block my ex on social media. Now, in this time that Jake and I have been broken up, I immediately, like I said, blocked him on social media, and I don't use TikTok. I rarely ever go on it. So I never thought TikTok is where I should block Jake. Anyway, a few weeks ago, I create this reel about herpes. And I know that one place that reels can go quite viral very quickly over a niche topic is TikTok. And I think, oh, I should just post it on TikTok. So anyway, I open the app for the first time in like forever. And the first person who flicks up on the app is Jake. I've blocked him on everything. There's Jake doing some boxing video. It isn't even anything. It's nothing about me. It's nothing personal. It's nothing emotional. It's nothing about another person. It's just Jake boxing. And so all of a sudden, I decide to watch it. Because, I mean, I'm a human. Like, well, there's my ex. I wonder what he's up to. I can see it on my phone. I've blocked him on everything. I can see what he's up to right now. And I watch it. And I used to love watching Jake box. He is such an incredible boxer. And my inner child used to idolize him. She thought he was so cool, so amazing, so hot, so like powerful, almost like I'd made him the prince of the Disney movie, like this warrior man who's going to come in and rescue the princess and they're going to fall in love. That is how she saw him when he was working out. Just totally idolized him. So I open the phone, I watch the video, he's boxing, and I'm like, oh, that's actually a pretty cool video. Then my humanness kicks in of like, I wonder what he's up to with his life. I wonder how he's going. I bet he's really winning. Before, he was working so hard, but he also put a lot of time into our relationship. That would have taken a lot of energy. I wonder what he's doing with all of his spare time now. I'm going to unblock him on Instagram and look. I have not unblocked that man in this entire time because I am such a stan for the conscious mind is the gatekeeper of the subconscious. So I unblock him on Instagram and I look through all his photos and videos and he's doing great. Anyway, I was fine. I looked at the photos and videos. I thought it was awesome. I was really happy for him. He looks like he's doing really cool stuff in the world. And I felt good about it until I didn't. And then all of a sudden, I could feel all of the inner child work that I'd been doing around the little girl choosing Jake bubble up to the surface. And I put myself into a deep, deep process around having seen him on social media. And this was probably 2 or 3 weeks ago now. And honestly, one of my best friends was like, Beck, what are you doing? You were such a stan for everyone blocking their ex on social media. Why did you go and look? In fact, I've had so many rants when it comes to breakups about what people say in breakups that trigger other people and push them into a process that they don't need to be in. I remember when Jake and I first broke up, so many people messaged me on Instagram to be like, I saw him out at this boxing event. Oh, I went on his Instagram, like Jake and I spoke, and he was like, if we're breaking up, I'm going to delete all the photos of you from my social media. That's a part of my process. So I already knew. He'd already been very transparent with me. If we're breaking up, this is what I need to do. So I already knew the photos of me on his Instagram were going to be deleted. One of my best girlfriends texts me. I'm already in Bali. I'm already crying. I'm already sobbing on the back of a scooter. And she texts me going, I just went onto Jake's Instagram and he has deleted every photo of you that you guys had. And I'm like, are people actually thick? When someone is going through a breakup, can you please ask them how they are going to find out about their heart and how they are holding themselves through the breakup? But as much as we're all curious and we love to find out, oh my God, these people have got together and then these people have broken up, and then we love stalking on social media, and human beings just love all shit like that. I remember when Jake and I first posted a photo on Instagram, never ever had I received so much engagement on my social media. Then I break up with Jake and I get to Bali. Never ever ever have I had so much engagement on my social media. Humans are just curious and nosy, and fucking be conscious and careful of the shit that you say to people when they're going through pain. Like, this breakup was so, so hard on me. And people that I really love, care for, and respect said some really hurtful things. One of my male friends who does breath work and men's work on the other side of Australia one day messages me, guess who I saw on the weekend? And I assumed that he was on the other side of Australia doing men's work. And so I just like named a few names. He was like, yeah, but also, and he said, Jake and Jake's brother. And I was just like, can I give you some feedback? Please. You don't know where I'm at in my healing and my grieving journey. Don't just throw my ex's name as a curveball into my inbox when I could be having a really great day and that be the thing that sets me off. Like, can we just not be nosy fuckwits for humans and just actually be like, whoa, breakups are hard. And as much as sometimes I can be really unconscious and just say some dumb shit, can I actually think this person could be going through so much internal pain right now that me bringing up their ex might not actually be something that they want to talk about or be asked about right now? For ages, I was like, I need to tell people to not ask questions about people's ex. And when I talk about supporting yourself and supporting your conscious mind, supporting your subconscious mind, what am I really practiced in? Boundaries and authentic relating. So when my friends, including my girlfriend who texts me about the photos of Jake, or the girlfriend that saw Jake out at a boxing event, or the friend that had done breath work with Jake and facilitated some event with him, what was I able to do in each and every single one of those moments? Be a stand for myself and say, hey, can I share something with you? I'm actually going through a lot of pain with this breakup, and I would love to reflect that it feels really insensitive that you have said this thing to me. And my feedback for you is, when someone's going through a breakup, don't bring up their ex to them. It feels like a huge cross of my boundaries. It feels like a massive disrespect. And it actually feels really hurtful for me. And every single person apologized. That's why I say you get to be so practiced in the resources that you have, including authentic relating, so that you can support yourself. Because imagine you're going through this breakup and just everyone's being like, guess what this, guess what that, hey this, hey that. Like, I tell all my friends, if you ever see something about my ex on social media, if he's got a new girlfriend, if he's doing this thing, please just don't tell me. I don't actually want to know. I want to be happy for him, but I do not want to know. Let me have my full healing journey. Let me come all the way out the other side. Let us rekindle our friendship if and when we choose. And then, because myself and himself have chosen a friendship, that's when I would want to know. But before then is going to be too soon for me to know any information that isn't going to support my healing. So, little curveball, with all of that said, I had the social media moment where I was like, fuck, Rebecca Antonucci, you literally committed to yourself no unblocking your ex and stalking your ex on social media, and you did it once. And look at the fucking spiral that I went through. I literally for 2 weeks felt like I was going through an awakening, and this triggered it because there was so much inner child healing that was involved in my relationship with Jake and the breakup with Jake. I felt my little girl chose him from safety. The bullied teenager chose him from safety. Leaving him triggered the trauma even more, that this has been such a reclamation of my woman. So seeing that video of him boxing and all of my inner child stuff coming up, the little girl thinking he's so cool and so amazing and just really feeling so intensely because I'm so attuned to her now, what she was feeling, what she thinks about him, why she chose him. It put me through this full cycle. And what was really interesting about that is when I could feel my nervous system triggered, and I know I've shared this with you in the past, immediately when our nervous system feels stressed, we're going to search for safety. And because the trigger was around him, the first thing that she wanted to do was call Jake. I'm like, if I could just pick up the phone right now, I would feel this sense of relief in my body because Jake is my last external reference of strength and safety. He was such a pillar of pure strength and just choosing me and creating safety for me no matter what, that when my little girl feels triggered, she just wants to call him. And when we tell ourselves, no, you can't do something, and we take the option off the table, we really fuck ourselves, and there's a likely chance that we're actually going to do the thing. Telling myself not to call Jade is kind of like telling someone on a diet not to eat chocolate. Don't eat chocolate. Don't eat chocolate. Don't eat chocolate. Don't eat chocolate. Fuck, it's 9 o'clock at night and I've eaten the whole block of Cadbury's. So for me, what I said to myself in terms of supporting my nervous system, using my conscious mind to support my subconscious mind, is I decided, let's not take calling him off the table. You and Jake have ended on beautiful terms. We've said, let's take 3 to 6 months off chatting to each other, create all the space, no contact, no messages, no emails, no social media. And then if we want to rekindle a friendship, come back into contact, have a forgiveness ceremony, have a clearing conversation, we'll do that after we've had space. He shared with me that he wanted to do a forgiveness process around our relationship and email it to me. And prior to us starting that 3 months, I actually made a request, again, working with the tools that we use to support ourselves. I said to him, this breakup's actually a lot harder on me than what I thought that it would be. So my request is, can you wait until once I'm back from America so I've had enough space to be with the breakup so that the letter doesn't re-trigger anything for me? Give me the 3 months and then I'll be ready to read it. So he was like, absolutely, I can respect that request and do exactly that, because I knew if I got it a month into our separation, there was a likely chance that I would want to go back and contact him again. But what we needed was space and separation. And what I believe to be true when it comes to this is when we tell ourselves and our nervous system, no, 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 there's going to be a rebel and we're going to be like, yes, I'm going to fucking do that thing. So for me, because I knew in the past when Jake and I first went through this breakup, there was many times when I was insanely triggered and desired external safety where I reached out to him and he was like, come on, Beck, you know I'm never, ever, ever going to ignore you, but we have agreed and committed to no communication. At what point are you going to honor that? And the last time that we had that massive blow up and all the things, I finally slept with everyone. You know the podcast episode, you can go back and listen to it. But from that point, I made a commitment to myself, which was, okay, this person has been in my life for 3 years. This person was my best friend. This person was the person that I used to call for support when I really needed help or felt unsafe. So it's understandable that when I'm going through deep healing of not only a breakup, but also doing the work to open my heart so I can actually feel love in my body and feel life in my body and feel aliveness in my body. Because for such a long time, I said to myself, life is good, life is great, but I don't feel life the way that I desire to experience life, like the depth, the internal, like, ugh, of life. I wasn't feeling that. And so you have to expect that if you're desiring to really reconnect back to your heart and pull down those walls and open up to more life, open up to female friendship, open up to pleasure, open up to desire, open up to aliveness, you have to expect that once we start to break free from those shackles, tear down those doors, rip away those walls, that it's going to be actually quite painful and quite excruciating. There's been moments where I'm like, I feel like I'm fucking dying. And now because that was also intensely connected to inner child healing, and because I'm a coach and I'm so practiced in this work, there was a part of me that was like, of course, as I go through this basically awakening process of opening my heart back up to myself and my life, there's been moments that feel so anxious and so all-consuming and like this huge energy moving through my body. Of course, if that's a new energy that I've never felt within me before, I'm going to desire safety immediately. And the person, because this is so attached to inner child stuff, and who chose my inner child out of safety? She chose Jake. Of course, she's going to want to call him. And so knowing that, and knowing also I came from a disordered eating journey where I was like, no chocolate, no chocolate, no chocolate, no chocolate, all the chocolate. Fuck, I ate the chocolate. I said to myself, okay, conscious mind, gatekeeper of the subconscious mind. My conscious mind is also very logical. My conscious mind actually understands when I'm regulated, I understand how the human works, how our physiology works, how our nervous system works. I know that when I'm going through this process and I'm intensely triggered, my first reaction, my first response is going to be, I need to call Jade. Okay, great. So now that I know when I'm dysregulated, that's her first response. What am I going to actually do to support myself in those moments? Because my truth is, calling him from dysregulation isn't supportive for me or him. He will answer. He's committed to not ignoring me. Jake will never, ever, ever ignore me, which is a part of why I loved him and love him so much. He would never hurt me, never harm me, never ignore me, always choose me, always answer, always help me, always protect me. He was so fiercely committed to protecting me. So what can I do in those moments? Because if I'm in pain or shame or sadness or fear and I call him, he's going to step in and try and help. But he can't rescue me. He can't rescue my little girl. I chose him from wanting to be rescued. And look at the pain that that created for the both of us. Created pain for me. It created pain for him. Our relationship fell apart. So I can't call him from the wounded little girl who wants to be rescued. Great. That is incredible awareness, really celebrating myself for knowing that. So what can I do to support myself when knowing that the trigger is going to come up because I'm going through a healing process? What do I do to support myself, to soothe myself when she's like, I want to call him? I put the option back on the table. And so I said to myself, okay, Rebecca, we know that when you're dysregulated, your first thought is call Jake. I want to call Jake. Jake will help me. And you know that when you're dysregulated, him helping you is only further perpetuating the same cycle of the little girl being wounded and her reaching externally to someone other than herself, usually a man, to support and save and rescue her. But if we do that, we're only going to further repeat the same experience of her desiring to be rescued, him coming in and saving the day, and you recreating the same experience of feeling dissatisfied in your male intimate relationships. Okay, great awareness. How can I help myself in these moments when she wants to call him? And then I realized, I can tell her, you can call him. I was like, what? And I said to myself, you can call him. If you feel like you need to call Jake, you abso-fucking-lutely can. That is your full permission slip. You can pick up the phone. He hasn't blocked you. He'll always answer. Call him. But caveat, here's the thing, Rebecca. You are so committed to your woman and the reclamation of your woman that when you are insanely triggered, you can only call Jake. You can only text him. You can only pick up the phone. You can only communicate with him when you are calling him from your reclaimed woman. That to me was the biggest like aha moment of, oh my God, I am not going to pick up the phone and call this man from my wounding. I am not going to pick up the phone and call this man from my fear. I am not going to pick up the phone and call this man from my little girl. I am committed to. I can. My nervous system feels so spacious. It's almost like my relationship with food. I had a really, really like unhealthy, toxic relationship with sugar. I thought that food was here to ruin my life. And I used to say to myself, I wish that I had an unhealthy habit like drugs or alcohol, because I could just say, no drugs, no alcohol. You have got to go sober. But I absolutely have got to have a relationship with food. And food felt like it was ruining my life. Now, specifically, sugar felt like it was ruining my life. I would have all of it or I would have none of it. When I had none of it, it was great because for as long as I had none, I knew that I couldn't eat any. But I knew that there would always be a point. Actually, a client said this the other day. She goes, my relationship with my body sometimes feels like I'm at the bottom of a stairwell and I can see the top, but it's so high up and I'm climbing and climbing and climbing. And even when I get to the top, it kind of like loops back around and somehow I just end up straight back at the bottom and I'm constantly staring up, wondering how to get up there and when will these stairs ever, ever end? And I just don't know what to do and I feel so hopeless. I was like, whoa, that really resonates because that reminds me of my disordered eating journey. So recreating a relationship with sugar for me was like telling myself that I can't have it at all actually didn't serve and support me. Recreating a relationship where I told myself I could have some and I set conditions that felt empowering. I felt conditions that felt nourishing. I set conditions that felt like they were coming from my worthy woman who really loved, cherished, and respected herself. Same thing with calling Jake. Jake to me became like the chocolate. When I said no, she'd be like, nah, fuck it. I'm calling him. I'm texting him. But when I said to her, yeah, you absolutely can call that man. You can eat the chocolate, but you don't want to eat a whole bar. And I'm not talking like a little bar. I'm talking about a block or a family size block. Well, you can eat the ice cream for sure, but you want to have like two delicious scoops and you probably want to enjoy it with a friend and do it in a social outing. You don't want to eat a 2-liter tub of ice cream and then feel shame and guilt afterwards and a terrible night's sleep because your body has ingested so much sugar. Same with calling Jake. Yeah, you love that man. He was your best friend. He creates a lot of safety. You love hearing his voice. It's always beautiful to share time with him for sure. You can call him, but from the healthy conditions. You can call him Rebecca when you're calling him from your woman. You know how good it's felt for other men in Bali to experience your woman. They haven't experienced your wounded little girl. So give Jake that opportunity. If you're going to call him from her. And so unblock him on social media. Just that boxing video alone set off this huge trigger that ran through my entire body. I think it lasted maybe 3 days. And I held myself in it with the support of myself, my coach, and my best friend. And every single time that I was like, I'm going to call Jake, I would say to myself, you absolutely can, but what energy is this coming from? And every time I realized this is wounded little girl. Anyway, now for the big disruption. He'll be like, fuck, do you not tell social media anything, Rebecca? Saturday, I am driving on my scooter around Bali. My best friend has had a really challenging day and I know that her love language is gifts. And I'm in the florist picking her up 2 dozen red roses. It's Tracy Callaghan, who I've had on the podcast. She reminds me of pleasure and desire and the essence of the true embodied feminine. Tracy is who I want to have deliver and birth my babies. And I'm in the florist and all of a sudden on my WhatsApp, Jake's name pops up. And he's texted me. And this is a real curveball that I did not see coming. And he said that he was finding it challenging to move on and wants to explore what's possible if we were to spend some time together. I'm already going back to Bali for Christmas. In fact, I think I may be launching this on Christmas Day. But he has requested that we share and spend some time together. And I know that all of you, my friends, my family, my girlfriends in Bali, my podcast audience, everyone's going to be like, what the fuck, Rebecca? What about everything that you've written on the internet, every podcast you've recorded? And I have to share something really honest with you. My ex from 10 years ago, that was the most heart-wrenching breakup of my life. Like, I thought that we were meant to get married. I even did a mushroom ceremony around not opening my heart back up to love. And I found in my subconscious mind this belief that said that he was it. He was my love for this life. And I grieved in that mushroom ceremony the loss of that relationship and realized it was that fixed belief that it was him and it's never anyone else that had held me back from reopening my heart to anyone ever again. And in our breakup, it was really traumatic. Obviously, there was the cheating, there was the herpes virus, the entire thing. And I blamed him a lot. We were young. We probably had a relationship that was way too old for our relationship. I blamed him for not like really owning his sexual shame around his sexual performance and not working with me and not making my pleasures a priority and not listening to me when I made requests and came to him with my pain around the intimacy that we were experiencing. I just was so resentful. I was mad at him for begging for me back every time I broke up with him. I was mad at him for just not letting me go when I used to say to this man, like, I love you so much. Like, I'm so in love with you and you can't give me what I need from this relationship. And he would always come back for like a week or two. He would be the perfect boyfriend until he'd go straight back to the way that he was. And I was just so mad at him for years and so mad that he got to move on and all the things. And I was left with the fucking herpes virus. And I lived in this home in Perth, Western Australia, front row on the beach, and he would drive past. I'm pretty sure he was a plumber, medical gas engineer or technician or some fucking thing. Anyway, I knew his ute because it was so distinct and I would see it drive past almost every single day. If you live in the Northern Beaches, you drive the coast road home and he lived in the Northern Beaches. So I would see him either on the way to work or on the way back from work every day for what felt like 6 years. And it's really funny. For a few years, I really held this feeling inside of me that one day, even though I did, and I'm doing the air quotes right now, the wrong thing, and I was the one that cheated, I really felt like one day he would knock on my door and say, hey, Beck, I fucked up. I didn't listen to you. And I totally understand why you did exactly what you did. And I still want to work on this because I really love you. Like, I held so much love for this man. I was so mad at him. I think I like shamed him on the internet for a good 2 or 3 years, like talked so much shit where I was like, you know, when you're 25 and you put up a post that's directly at the person, but you're trying to pretend that it's not, but really is. If I could go back and see 25-year-young Rebecca's post, I think I would laugh so much. But I was just so mad at this man, but loved him so much and all the things. I thought to myself, one day he's going to come around and be like, I really fucked this up royally and I'm sorry and I understand and let's work on it. And I just wanted that for so many years, so deeply, and he never did. And so on Saturday, I get this text message from Jake and I'm like, fuck, this is exactly what I wanted from him. This is exactly what I wanted from that man 10 years ago. I wanted him to say, hey, I see it from my perspective and I see it from yours. And I'm still curious if the love that we have for each other is actually real and if we are letting something go too soon and if there is an opportunity for us to actually work on this and if there is the opportunity for that and we can actually meet each other's needs and give each other what we both want, need, desire in relationship, if there's the potential for us to explore it and can I see you? Can we reconnect when you're back in Australia to see if it's possible? And if it is possible, let's explore that. And if it's not possible, can we end on a beautiful friendship? And for me, it was like all my friends, especially all my Bali girlfriends are like, are you kidding? We've literally supported you through this entire breakup. And now you're going to go back to Australia and see your ex. But there's a part of me that's like, I know I can't not. Now that I'm so embodied in this reclaimed expression of me, now that I'm so connected deeply and intensely to my desires, and this is something that I said to Jake, I was like, I know what I'm committed to. I will not communicate with you from little girl energy. I have not called you. I did not pick up the phone in any of those challenges in any of those 3 months because I am fiercely committed to you get to see my woman and you either get to hold her and I get to see that you can, or you get to realize that she's not for you and I get to be at peace with that, but I am not bringing little girl energy to you. I know what I want. I know what I want for my life. I know what I want for my partnership. I know how I want to be fucked. I know what I desire. I know the vision that I'm creating. I know what I want for my babies. I know what I want for my family. I know what I want. And I also know the intense pain that is created for two people when a woman doesn't speak up and use her voice. So I'm never, ever, ever going to not do that with you ever again. I'm not going to say things are okay when they really are not. I'm not going to speak up. I'm not going to settle. I am not doing that. And so for me, again, my friends, they're like, okay, well, yes to bringing a reclaimed woman to him and all the things. And they're like, well, at least you'll see. And I did say this to Jake. Your breakup actually healed my breakup from 10 years ago. The night I got to Bali, I had this vivid dream of him from 10 years ago, and it cut that final cord. It felt like this huge rope that had been in my body for so long, and all that was holding on was one little piece, and it felt like our breakup cut it. And now him coming back 3 months later and saying this to me is like, that is everything. Everything that I wanted from that ex 10 years ago. And I can't not at least see so that I have complete clarity that it either could or absolutely could not work. And I'm unattached to either, but I'm such a yes to the man that is such a stand for the woman that even after my, Jake's words, midlife crisis, moving to Bali, all my posts on social media, reclaiming my woman, every podcast, he's still like, let's fucking see if it's possible. I was like, this is really odd because I was planning on coming back. I've been seeing people. I've been spending time with men. I've been having incredible experience. I've been very open. I've been very open to meeting men. I've been very open to communicating my desires. I've been very open to receiving. I've been having the best sexual experiences of my life. The men that have been taking me on dates have been treating me the exact way that I desire. And there's a part of me that's like, is it possible? Okay, final thing here. I had a one-night stand after a nightclub experience a week and a half ago with someone that I actually know. So is it a one-night stand when you sleep with someone that you know but you've never had sex with before? Maybe not. But anyway, someone that I know, we saw each other out in Bali and we went home together that night. And again, it was such amazing sex that I was like, I'm a little bit curious. Is it him? Is it them? Like, are the men that I'm picking just insanely good in bed? Or is it me? Is it my reclamation that has enabled me to experience the depth of this pleasure through the nervous system work that I've been doing and the Kundalini work that I've been doing and the archetypal wisdom work that I've been doing? I can actually hold more pleasure in my body. And so that is also a curiosity that I feel I have absolutely got to satisfy. I wonder, if I bring this expression of me to Jake, A, does he want it? Can he hold it? Can he be with it? And B, can I experience this amount of pleasure with him? Because after that one night stand, I was like, I've never slept with this guy before because when I looked at him, there was just a part of me that thought you cannot be good in bed. Like, there's no fucking chance. Even when we were having sex, I was like, I cannot believe that you're actually an amazing lover. I was quite certain that you were very terrible. And it being so good, I was looking at Tracy, I'm like, is it them? Is old mate from the nightclub really that great? Or is it me? What if I just bring this expression to Jake? What might be possible? So he's booked us a picnic. He's booked us a night at a hotel. He's booking and planning the dates and all of the things. I'm like, as soon as he did that, I could feel immediately this like open heart of like, look at the man leading, look at the man initiating, look at the man making the plan. Oh, this is what I fucking wanted the entire time. How can I not at least see? High intention, low attachment. How can I not at least see what might be possible? And we've made a commitment to each other that if it's not possible, we just get to be incredible, amazing friends. So my loves, I hope that you absolutely loved this little curveball of an episode. If you love it, please screenshot it, share it to your story, tag me so that I can connect with you and so that I can share it as well. I cannot wait to be back in your ears next week. Have the most beautiful, brilliant day. I hope that you are enjoying the holidays. Let's fucking go. Thanks for tuning in to today's episode. If you're desiring more from me right now, firstly, I love your eagerness. And secondly, let's make it happen. Check out the link in my show notes where you can receive more information on my books, breakthroughs, online webinars, all upcoming courses and programs, and how you can get started on your journey within my world today. I can't wait to be back in your ears next week. And trust me, you won't want to miss this episode.